Today we begin a brand new series of sermons that will take us into June. We're looking at what was made new in the gospel and in the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the beginning of what we know as the church age. Today we're going to be looking at a passage of scripture that is one of my all-time favorites. Every pastor who wants to find new life in a church and create a new community looks at Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47 and says, this is what we want to see. This is the community of faith that we want to look like. This is the after picture if you were to show a before and after in an advertisement. Now, as I was thinking about the before and after, it made me think about the ads that I knew when I was growing up. I loved reading comic books, and I still do. The advertisements have changed, however, in the last 40 years. Today, you'll be more likely to see a blockbuster movie take out a full-page ad in a $3 comic book. When I was a kid, comic books cost 25 cents, and the ads were worth a penny apiece. This was one of them. There were many of them. They had ads that dealt with x-ray specs, and one of my all-time favorites were sea monkeys. They always looked so much better in the ad than they did when you got these little microscopic organisms in a glass at home. But these ads were focused on the typical comic book person. You know, the Charles Atlas ad recognized that the person who was reading comics in 1973 probably didn't look anything like Charles Atlas. They were likely 10-year-old kids that were skinny and were worried or maybe had already experienced the sand kicked in their face at the beach. And so we saw the promise of being a superhero. Now, the problem is that even if you bought the program and knew what to do, you didn't necessarily end up looking like Charles Atlas. Much in the same as buying the x-ray specs didn't allow you to see through anything, and buying sea monkeys didn't provide a little kid with any friendship. In order for you to look like Charles Atlas, you had to work like Charles Atlas and eat like Charles Atlas. You had to devote yourself to what you knew. But herein lies the difficulty. You can value something that you do not devote yourself toward. And every comic book fan and every person who will watch workout tapes and not move while it happens knows that you can value something that you don't devote your life towards. We all value a savings account. We all value a healthy body. But we don't devote ourselves to the things that it takes to create these things. You can seek something that you're unwilling to pursue in devotion. And this is the key term that the scripture uses when talking about the Acts chapter 2 church. They devoted themselves. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to the fellowship. They devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. They devoted themselves to prayer. You see, all of us want to find the community that is growing and that is faithful and that is equal and that is loving and that is together. But devoting yourself to it is a very different thing than valuing it. When you devote yourself to something, you put your energy, your time, your presence into it. But see, the world that we live in doesn't seek devotion as much as we seek growth, as much as we seek payoff, as much as we seek a sign. Most churches aspire to look like this. It's a big church. It is a big church with a lot of people. It's stadium-sized. You go on the internet and look at some churches meet in stadiums that used to house football and baseball teams. There's tens of thousands of people that are in the churches. And a guy like me can get darn right giddy over this kind of picture. Right? Wouldn't it be great to have thousands of people all coming together to worship? But then reality hits me. There are churches around the country that worship in the thousands and then leave and nothing changes. They are big churches. They are mega churches, but they don't make a difference in the world around them. People show up and they all get together. They value this time. They value the message. They value the music. And then they leave. 10,000 people walk out and go their own ways. And the world doesn't see the evidence of the Acts 2 church. The church doesn't see them devoting themselves to the breaking of bread and to the teaching of the disciples. Our popular polls tell us that Christian people act in much the same way as their non-Christian neighbors. Very little distinction in their understanding of the world. Very little difference in how they live their lives. They go home and they live as if there was nothing different. In a setting in the big church, all too frequently, they come as individuals and they leave as individuals with too little in common. The only thing they might share is the bumper stickers that they have on their car. They share the pastor's tweet, but it might have been months, if not years, since they shared a meal with another member. But that's the way of the world, right? The world is more and more isolated. We don't really know our neighbors. We don't really get to know the people around us. We don't have the intimate relationships that we desperately want. We have thousands of Facebook friends, which are the modern era sea monkeys, let's be honest. Facebook friends seem like friends, but are they really friends? Do they really give you what you need? Or do they just like a photo? They look better than they are. The problem is that normal isn't as good as we like it to be. And one of the first things that the book of Acts tells us is that the disciples, the apostles, the early church were anything but normal. The church in today's world wants to be normal. We want to be normal by sharing music that's typical, that sharing messages that don't challenge, by making church just like the world. But what we've done instead is we've ended up taking something that's supposed to make a difference, and we've made it just like everything else. Churches no longer shock. They're no longer distinct. They're no longer, dare I say it, weird. It used to be that people that went to church looked kind of weird. Now, sometimes, I'll admit it, they were weird in the wrong way. Sometimes in churches, we're the wrong kind of weird. Okay? But the Gospels and the book of Acts tell us that the church was the right kind of weird. Now, one of the first things that jumps out at me is that the church didn't wait for anybody to help them help others. The church just, when there was a need, they sold their stuff and they dealt with it. That's weird, okay? Most of us won't sell our stuff even if we have to. This is what happens when you get people who don't have anything but all of their stuff that they carry around. Right? We've seen it. We know our stuff sometimes means more than ourselves. It's weird when people will get rid of their stuff, their possessions, to help a neighbor, to help a friend, to help a church member. Now, I want to make sure you understand this. When the church was selling their stuff to provide for the people around them, it wasn't their bad stuff. I had a friend that ran the Dayton Christian Center in Dayton, Ohio. He was an associate pastor of mine, and he went on to run the Dayton Christian Center. And one day, we were having lunch, and he said, "I'm so sick and tired of getting piles of junk delivered to the Dayton Christian Center that I'm supposed to thank people for." So he said, he was frustrated. He was angry. And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "The other day I got garbage bags full of stuff, and there were empty booze bottles in them," he said. There were dirty linens in it. Someone was giving their stuff away, weren't they? But somewhere along the way, they gave away their garbage, not their best. When the church gives away its garbage and not its best, then we're in trouble, aren't we? Because that's not coming from self, from love, from God. God's wanting us to devote ourselves fully to what the gospel story is, and then we'll see the change in the world around us. Again, you value things that you don't devote yourself to. When Peter and the disciples were following Jesus, they left everything to follow him. When you leave everything to follow something, that's devotion, isn't it? It means that you're leaving behind an old way and you're moving into a new way. I have difficulty leaving anything behind. Have you ever packed for vacation and realized that you've taken half your house with you? You know, "I just want to get away somewhere quiet," you say. My kids joke that I bring like a box of books, just in case. Because I can't stand that I don't have my library with me. We get compulsive in those things, obsessive in those things. We want to get away, but we also want to be entertained. We want to have the things that we're used to. We want to leave everything behind, but we just can't help ourselves and we bring some of it with us. How can we have the power to change the world if we're unwilling to change ourselves? Acts 2 shows us how we change ourselves. We devote ourselves to four things that can change the world. It's simple. We devote ourselves to the teaching of the disciples. This is basically the message of the gospel. You devote it yourself. Hey, a little thunder and lightning kind of helps. Gives me more gravitas, right, when the clouds break behind me. They devoted themselves to the scripture, to the teaching of the disciples, to the word of God, to Jesus himself. They devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. Now, there's two things that happen in two different ways. Notice I got worship and fellowship as 2 and 3. The fascinating thing about the breaking of bread is that the first time we talk about it in Acts 2, it's the breaking of bread associated with worship. And the second time, it's the breaking of bread associated with fellowship. It's breaking of bread in worship. And then the second time, it's the breaking of bread in each other's homes. The other thing that's repeated twice is prayer. It's prayer together as a part of worship and prayer as a part of the devotion to each other in community and in fellowship. So the next two are intimately connected. You worship together with your fellowship family. You're not supposed to leave it in the church. You're supposed to bring it into the world. And part of this breaking of bread and this prayer is that it's supposed to not simply be symbolic or something that you get as an inoculation, but something that you get as a change in the way of life. You bring your joy into church and you bring your joy into the world. You recognize that you're eating grace in communion, and then you bring that grace and that joy that God has given you as you walk out into the world around you. And then the last thing is acts of caring and sharing. People in that early church saw the world and the people around them as more important than their stuff and their things. There was something transformative about the fact that they actually devoted themselves to fellowship with each other. Now, this is something that is, let's put it in very raw human terms. Most of the time when the doorbell rings, we get a little bit of dread in our hearts. Does the doorbell ring sound like a bomber flying overhead during 1940s England? Does it make you afraid when the doorbell rings? A lot of people, when a visitor comes over, the first thing they think about is, my house isn't ready, I'm not properly dressed, and the kids have dirt on their face. And we're afraid to open and let people in because we're not ready for that in our lives. But the early church were always ready. They valued the knock on the door. They wanted their neighbors to know that they were home. They didn't avoid fellowship. They weren't annoyed by it. Now, I have to admit that sometimes in life you get home, you lock your doors, you close your doors. You don't want anyone to bother you, right? But that's an insular, individual, isolated way to live life. And a church that lives that way and a people that live that way, guess what we're going to get? Isolated people. People that aren't devoted to community and change. They're not devoted to each other or to God. God's constantly wanting the church to move out into the world. And if we devote ourselves to the things that the early church did, then we'll have the opportunity to actually make a change. But I want to make sure you understand this. You know, whenever the preacher preaches this kind of stuff, it's really difficult because I can't make you change. And the reality is the only person I can make change is me. And that's the way all of us are. I have to change myself. If I want to be more giving, then guess what I have to do? I have to give more. If I want to be more loving, guess what I have to do? I have to love more. If I want to see a better community, what I have to do is I have to be a better neighbor. If I want to see a better church, what I have to be is a better follower of Jesus. And what I'm challenging you to do is to join me in being better. You see, part of what the church has failed to do is because we fail to look at ourselves. We look at others, but we don't look at ourselves. And what I want to make sure that you know is that the first thing Peter had to do in order for him to lead the church is Peter had to realize that he had failed in doing it his way. This is one of the difficult things about the early church in the book of Acts. The first thing that happens is the early church has to be picked up from failure and loss. And then they are inspired through the power of the Holy Spirit to be different than they were. Solzhenitsyn's quote, if you want to change the world, who do you begin with, yourself or others? He says, I believe if we begin with ourselves and do the things that we need to do and become the best person we can be, we have a much better chance of changing the world for the better. Now, changing the world is not a matter of what must change, but who. And these are my words, the who is me and the who is you. It sounds like it could be a Dr. Seuss rhyme, right? You want to change the world, don't change the what, change the who. Change who we are. Start devoting yourself to the things that matter in life and start making the things that matter the things that you value. God is seeking for the world to change, and the world is needing a change. Most of us look and we see the flaws in others. It's easy to see. But the problem is that we see that they see the flaws in us, and they're easy to see. Open up your heart and let God take you and change you through the grace of God in Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and through the love that you receive here in the church. You see, all of us here are needing the change of God through the power of the Holy Spirit, and it happens with community. I got a group of friends that we sit down every week, and we have breakfast, and we challenge each other, and sometimes we just simply bare our souls to each other. We say, I'm having trouble. This Thursday was my turn to share. And what that really means, it was my turn to confess. And I went to the group, and the group surrounded me in love, and they shared some truth, and they told me it was going to be all right. It was a good community time for me, and hopefully for them. Do you have that group where you can sit down and share and talk and be real? When that becomes a part of your life, then the church becomes real. It becomes something that you can hold on to and that you can be inspired by. That was the Acts 2 church. And that's the church that we're seeking to build here at First Baptist Church. We want you to be a part of it. We want you to join with us, not just in valuing what we're doing, but in committing yourself and covenanting to do so. That's what the Lord's Supper is. You see, as we talked about last week, we recognize the presence of Jesus when we break bread together. We do it in worship, and we do it in life. Don't leave this place without making a connection with a person as well as with the power of God. Recently, there's been discussion about what they call the difference between a vertical and a horizontal understanding of church. And I understand what they're talking about. You know, we want to be more God and not as much, a personal. And here's the problem. The cross is both. In order to be godly, you've got to have connection with the people around you. That's what the early church recognized. You can't do it alone. Jesus said, where two or more are gathered, I'm with you. And that's where community comes in. It's a part of our relationship with God. When things are right with God, they become better with the people around us. Not because God makes a miracle in our lives, but because God changes how we see other people and allows us to open up to people and to be real in a way that God needs us to be. I want you to do something before we do communion today. And one of the things I want you to do is help us out a little bit. I want you to get closer to the people around you. We have a tendency to kind of fill the congregation and kind of, spread out a little bit. I want us to get a little bit closer. People in the back, if you're able, move forward a little bit. Come together. And I'm serious. In a moment, what's going to happen is the deacons are going to bring forward the bread and the cup, and they're going to bring it to the front. While they're bringing it to the front, I want you to make sure that you're sitting next to someone for communion. Because if you're not in fellowship with each other, then all we're doing is taking a little cracker and a little grape juice. It's God and us together, and that's the fellowship that God is calling us to do. So as we do so, let's devote ourselves to the fellowship of the church. Let's pray. Lord God, I ask your blessing on the people of God and the church. I ask that you would help us to devote ourselves to the fellowship of the church, to devote ourselves to the breaking of bread. Help us to devote ourselves to the reading of your word, to devote ourselves to making people and community more important than our stuff. Help us to be different and distinct in all of the right ways so that the world might see your glory and so that the world might experience your love and grace. And Lord God, we pray it in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's sing together. Let us break bread together. And as we do so, find yourself in a community. Connect yourself and make yourself one with the people around you. Let us break bread together.